the Jean Rhee Institute organization, in its heyday in the late 70s and early 80s, surrounded by world champion kickboxers, world champion school owner-operators and staff, and world champion forms competitors, who ended up being like the ultimate mastermind group that you could put together of school owners and martial artists. And that included Jeff Smith and Jean Rhee and Nick Coquinas and Ned Muffley, but it also included John Chung, Charlie Lee. It also included Mike Coles, Rodney Batiste, in and out. It included Joe Corley and Jerry Rome, and you could go through the list of top kickboxers from back then. But it really included, you know, a huge plethora of the top people: Larry Carnahan, John Worley, Pat Worley, Gordon Franks. You know, I could keep going on both hands and toes. But it ended up being an incredibly powerful mastermind environment of top martial artists. And then I ended up with, again, just because more or less right place, right time, high performance. When I left the Jean Rhee Institute, I immediately was running about $1 million a year school, but this was back in 1985.
Impressive.
And I ended up on the ESC Board of Directors. Mm-hmm. And the ESC Board of Directors, you know, were all people who had lots of potential but were not necessarily performing at high levels. I mean, I was, but it included a guy that I nearly hired, and we decided not to. Some people may recognize him as Steve LaValle.
our SOS interview this month.
Yeah.
Let him slip away, did you?
Well, that was a mistake.
I think we decided we would have killed each other. You know, we were both a little strong-headed, but he came to Denver to interview, and we talked about it. Another one who I nearly hired at that same year was Charlie Lee.
Oh, great.
And there's a whole list of them. But the ESC Board of Directors started out as me and Steve LaValle and Keith Hafner and Tim and Dave Kovar. Ended up with Tom Callis on that group, Greg Silva, to give him some credit, Jim Mather. You can go through the list of the people who were in that group, and many of them ended up being the top people in the industry over a few years. And it was just purely the strength of that network in a mastermind group of people supporting each other's strengths. And then over the years, obviously as a member of the NASCA Board of Directors, that created another mastermind group for me. And then more recently, I managed to squirrel my way into Dan Kennedy's Platinum Group, and we're talking about what we have. But he's got, I think, about 15,000 members, and there's 1% of his membership base, it looks like, less than 1%. There's 15 people on his in his Platinum Group. So they're the top 15 out of 15,000 members that all get together. And Rob, you and Toby got to sit in on one of those recently.
Absolutely.
And,
great
and see
experience.
See the strength of that.
Very powerful. Really powerful.
And you and I, in talking to Mike Dillard, you remember he attributes much of his early success in building Century with exactly the same thing, with ending up in the Young Presidents organization, I believe.
Absolutely.
It was.
Absolutely. Yep. He's been a member of that for many years.
Yeah. Which was essentially, again, a small mastermind group of young, focused, dedicated CEOs and entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, I think what we're looking at, I'll use one of Dan Kennedy's explanations to maybe help clarify, but Kennedy talks about, and I'm sure somebody else, you know, did the research on this, but that any population of people is going to sort themselves out between the top 5% who are going to be truly, truly high performers, the next 15% who are going to be very successful, and the bottom 80% who are almost always going to be also-rans or mediocre.
Okay.
And ultimately, what we're going to be looking at with what you just talked about, Rob, with the inner circle, and we're going to create a level below that, is we're looking for those top 5% of the membership base, and we'll probably reach into the top 20% for the second tier, but ultimately, both of them put together, we can accept no more than about 1%, actually about 5% of the membership base total.
So, and just to expand on that, you know, with the Inner Circle program, we can only accept tops 20 people in that. I mean, max.
And then the level below that will take up to maybe 4% of the total membership base. So if we have 150 people on the call today, frankly, you know, if we accepted half, that would max out both programs. And there will be the second and third wave of the rest of the membership base being told what to do because or what's going on because we do want to only accept the top people.
Yeah. And unfortunately, everyone who applies may not be accepted. You know, as I kind of discussed a little bit earlier, one of the things we want to make sure is that in the Inner Circle program that two people who are in the same area who are direct competitors wouldn't both be in the group. So there's going to have to be some geographical things that we take into consideration. And also we want to make sure that everybody in the group is a logical fit for the group. And that they all have the ability to synergize and harmonize so that the effect that we're looking for actually comes to fruition and that everybody comes out of this thing 1 year later with the desired results. Because this mastermind effect, as Master Oliver talked about, really hinges, you know, not just on the facilitators of the group, but also on the participants of the group. So one person may, you know, come to the front of the room and say, look, you know, I'm a kung fu stylist, I'm a taekwondo stylist, I'm a karate stylist, whatever. Here's my situation, here's my problem, here's my idea. And you may have, I don't know, 19 more people sitting around you that are top owners, that have great advice, great input. You have the entire brain trust of the NAPA organization to help you get on the right track, to separate the wheat from the chaff and to really distill things down to their essence and get going in the proper direction and have your feet held to the fire with a friendly accountability because this group is not designed for people that aren't serious or aren't willing to put forth 100% effort. We do intend to hold people accountable to what they're looking for. And that's a big part of the benefit of this program. For the first 13 years of NAPMA, most of what we have done is we've sent out a box package to the industry. We've probably had, you know, 5,500, 6,000 schools come through the NAPMA organization since its inception. And, you know, the material has been great. I think we've actually over-delivered on the material, frankly. But there's that accountability factor that's always been a struggle when you have that many schools all over the world that you're working with. And I think that's one of the real differentiation points between a Maximum Impact membership and an Inner Circle program or a Peak Performers program, which is the next level down, is that people are working directly with you to go through the material to find out what your specific needs are, your wants, your desires, and then to help you formulate a plan to get where you want to go and then really, really hold you accountable to actually getting there and using the brain trust of the group to make sure that you achieve success.
The difference always has been with the material that we send out for the school owners is their ability to implement it. And just looking at it from a martial arts perspective or a fighter's perspective, I know that I could learn a technique, say, from Mr. Lewis and go out there and never have to apply it with my students or mediocre fighters. It's when those guys are pushing me and they're going to make me move to that next level is when I had to start pulling that stuff out. And a lot of times it just won't happen on its own unless somebody is actually there essentially holding your feet to the fire. So this kind of group, I guess today begins a search, essentially. This phone call initiates a search for the top guys who will not accept mediocrity.
I think also another key point, hitchhiking on what Mark just said, is that, you know, since NAPMA was incepted, there's been many other information providers that have come into the industry. I think everyone on this call knows that. You know, back 13 years ago, you know, half of the people that I talked to on the phones didn't even know what a camera-ready ad slick was. And now you've got all kinds of information providers out there. So many schools, or should I say many instructors, are receiving information from many sources. And oftentimes the information they're receiving is conflicting. you know, one guy says, do cash outs. The other guy says, no, don't do cash outs. It'll kill your school. You know, another guy says, you know, do rotating curriculum. Another guy says, no, don't. Use contracts. Don't use contracts. I mean, the list of examples like this is very long and very wide. And many schools tell us directly that they have information overload because they're getting information from their billing company and NAPMA and this group and that group. And what happens oftentimes is paralysis. They just don't know what to do with the information that they're getting, and half of it's conflicting. So with this inner circle group, we're going to put an end to that. We're going to help tailor specific programs to specific school owners with specific results, and then the group will facilitate the accomplishment of those goals, if that makes sense.
That's right. Rob, if I may, Master Oliver, if I may.
Sure.
We all know, and hopefully we can you know, persuade the NAPMA members that this is the case, that the one book other than the Bible that most business leaders in the world attribute to the bulk of their success is Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich.
Oh, excellent.
And basically, yeah, and basically, for anyone who doesn't know what the story was, Napoleon Hill was basically set on a quest by Andrew Carnegie to go meet with some of the most influential, most powerful businessmen and women, political leaders, religious leaders in the world. And Andrew Carnegie basically kicked the door open for Napoleon and set him on the mission to meet these people and find out what the secret of success was. And one of the concepts in Think and Grow Rich, in fact, the most powerful overarching concept in the book, is the mastermind concept. And the mastermind concept was he found that John D. Rockefeller, Alexander Bell, I mean, all of these hugely influential people all surrounded themselves by people who were just as forward-looking as they were, just as entrepreneurial as they were, just as focused on achieving results as they were. But also they weren't afraid to surround themselves by people with eclectic backgrounds. And Rob, something that you said I think is very important for everybody to understand, we don't just want taekwondo stylists.
No.
We want to have people that have taken all of these fragments of information that you're talking about and figured out how they work together, what the component parts are. And we have vast experience in that vein. But you're going to be able to see how the Kung Fu stylist makes cash outs work. You're going to see how the jiu-jitsu guy makes a rotating curriculum work. You're going to see how the Aikido guy understands how instructor certification, instructor training can really help grow your school. So all of these are different examples, and when 20 of these people are in the room all sharing you their A to Z blueprints, you're not going to have a fragment to go implement back in your school. You're going to have a systematic approach to going back to your school and understanding how these systems integrate with each other and be able to take your school to the next level. And the second part of that story is one of the discoveries that Hill made in later years was the invention of the Bic pen. And it's a great story, but you know, I'll boil it down as quick as I can. Basically, the Bic pen, the disposable pen, was invented not in the research and development department at you know, a major corporate headquarters. It was basically conceived of at a lunch meeting that, you know, like the CFO from Bic and somebody from Ban Rollon, you know, deodorant, had a lunch. And basically they were just having a conversation, and the guy from Bic said, you know, these fountain tip pens are so expensive to reproduce and they're so challenging for us to bring the price point down to the average consumer that it's very challenging for us, and we're trying to find a better alternative, but we just can't figure out how to get the ink to flow on the paper, you know, appropriately. And well, obviously the other part of the conversation was, well, you know, we had the same problem with our deodorant product. We couldn't figure out how to get that to apply smoothly to the skin, so we hover a sphere inside of a cone and it rolls just fine. And they said, hey, well, all that ink is the same, you know. So, I mean, this is exactly the same type of an environment that we're trying to create. It's even though I don't teach jiu-jitsu, I can see how this instructor or this school uses a 1-2 intro and then close process to sell their memberships at a high percentage level, you know, and that would work for my taekwondo school as well. So that's what we're trying to create. We're trying to create that synergy, and Master Oliver and myself and you, Rob, and Mark, we all have this experience on a day-to-day basis. We're all surrounded by people that are better than we are in most cases, which really helps us, like Mark said, to kind of take the step to the next level. So you know, that's definitely, I think, the focus and the goal.
That synergy is amazingly powerful, and in fact, It basically winds up being a 1 plus 1 equals a lot more than 2. And the way Napoleon Hill put it is actually he said, no two minds ever come together without thereby creating a third invisible, intangible force which may be likened to a third mind. Basically, that energy, that force would not actually exist if it were not for those minds coming together. So in this thing, you are going to be coming across coming up with ideas and information that would be essentially impossible to create without that third mind concept.
Without a doubt. And one of the things that Toby said that I want to expand upon, because I think it's probably one of the most critical points of all for this discussion, is that a lot of success depends on who you're hanging out with. What's your peer group, you know? And I've really recognized that in my career. And I, on a personal note, have really tried my hardest to align with the top people in the industry as well as some very high-profile people outside the industry. In fact, just today I received a phone call from Jay Abraham's office. I need to return that call today. But these are the kinds of people that I'm trying to align myself with. And if you are, as someone once said, trotting with the turkeys, you're not going to be able to fly with the eagles. And this mastermind group that we have, that we are putting together, this inner circle, is going to be comprised of the people that want to fly with the eagles. And you will be aligned with other individuals who think like you, that have similar goals like you, and as I said earlier, aren't the excuse makers, that 80% that Stephen Oliver had discussed earlier. And it's true. It's the Pareto principle, the 80-20 rule. And if you look in just about any area of civilization, you can pretty much look at it and see the 80-20 rule always holds true. And about 80% of the people that are receiving information products aren't even probably using them. It's just sad but true. And then you've got that upper tier, that upper 5% that buy everything, they use everything. As soon as the NAPMA box arrives, they tear it open. They implement. They're not the people that have 6 or 8 months worth of NAPMA boxes sitting in the corner on the floor in their office. They're the ones that are the proactive people, the go-getters, the high achievers, the people that are trying to claw their way up the ladder. And frankly, that's the kind of people that I really want to work with at this stage in my career, and the people that I'm most excited to work with, because I know which direction I'm going up. And those people that are going to be in this inner circle group working directly with me and other key staff members, Mark and Toby, and I'm sure Master Oliver will contribute at times, this is a group of like-minded individuals that all have similar goals. So a lot of success really has to do with your peer group. And unfortunately, many school owners are constantly associating themselves with and hanging around with school owners that are not business-like. They don't think on an entrepreneurial level. They're more negative than they are positive. If you start to grow your school, they accuse you of selling out. They still undercharge for their tuition. They're still out late at night, drinking beer and eating chicken wings instead of, getting up early and hitting. I just did an interview with Steve LaValle, a two-hour interview before I left for Germany. And Steve LaValle, he's like a machine. He's been a NAP member for a long time. You know, he's up at like 5:15 every morning starting his day. And you wonder why the guy's a martial arts millionaire. You know, he's the kind of person that we want in this inner circle group, you see. So Napoleon Hill hit it right. It's who you hang out with. Who's your peer group? And you look at that EFC board of directors and the regional developer group that NAPMA had prior to the transition to our friends over at Century. And it's just a very, very powerful effect, the mastermind effect that occurs. And that's what we're really looking to achieve with this inner circle group.